Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode. Man, I'm bad at this game. Welcome to episode 206 of Nerd Pride Radio. 206, because there's 206 bones in a skeleton, a human skeleton, because it's, you know, Halloween season and all. Ask me how I'm doing today. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones, and I am a Pathfinder / Starfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, a place I go every week to hey, run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, my black cat Raven, also in honor of the Halloween season. I mean, she's shy and she's probably sleeping under the bed right now, but I'm sure she can hear me from here, and I'm positive that she will come out if she has anything important to say. So, if you can't tell, my voice is still not 100%. I'm still not completely over that cold, bronchitis, whatever it was last week. So if I sound off, that's what it is. And also, my microphone is recording weird. Your left ear is probably hearing me quieter than your right ear if you've got headphones on, and I don't understand why. So, I'm gonna try and sort this out, but if it sounds funny, it's cause I'm an idiot. I got nothing. Alright. Let's jump right in. It is time for the meticulously plotted portion of my podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list. And then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, right on in. Uh-oh. Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back. And I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. All right. Let's see. I've got a bunch of nerd rage this week. And so I'm just going to pack them all in. And first off, I was so excited, so happy to see an announcement this week that the Boy Scouts are finally letting girls join. I was excited about this. This is an awesome thing. You guys have heard me talk about it for years, how much I can't wait until the two programs merge and we don't have to worry about separating people out by gender. And it's just Scouts, because that's the way it should be. And instead, yeah, no, the Boy Scouts are letting girls join, but they don't get to be with the boys. Like if you want to have girls joining your Cub Scout den, then you have to, or your Cub Scout pack, then you have to have all girl dens, and they have to operate separately from the boys. They can still follow the same curriculum, earn the same badges, ranks, and honors, the whole business. When they get to Boy Scouts, they can follow all the way up and earn Eagle Scout and everything. But they have to do it separately from the boys. I don't get that. Like, literally separate but equal. It is a little disappointing. And this is just the Boy Scouts allowing girls to follow their curriculum. It's not replacing Girl Scouts. So we will still have Girl Scouts out there doing their thing with their established organization and their awesome cookie sales and everything else that they all already do. And girls now will have this other option that's just going to divide, and it's not, I'm so disappointed. I thought we were actually like merging. I thought we were actually doing something, to move forward. And I get why it's happened like this. I mean, I understand that they kind of see the writing on the wall, that they don't want to be discriminatory. People have talked about the two organizations merging for years, and the idea is just, there's just too much resistance to it. There's just too much. So instead, this is their stopgap measure. They can't actually merge with Girl Scouts because Girl Scouts are much more progressive and the programs are different. Who knows what? And so instead of merging, oh, well, we'll just let girls in. Oh, well, okay, you can let girls in, but what about when they go camping? What are you going to do? You can't have boys and girls camping together. You can't have them in the same. It's silly. It's silly. And so they come up with this, okay, fine. They can join, but, you know, they can't look at or touch each other, whatever. And it's disappointing because organizations like 4-H have been co-ed for years and years. And I don't want them touching each other. You get my point. But I want 7-year-olds to be able to, you know, work on Halloween crafts while sitting side by side and not have to worry that the girls have to go sit in a separate room. That's what I want. Oh, man. Like I say, my wife wants me to assure you guys that, no, she's on my side on this one. We've got the same opinion on this. She just likes to give me crap. So, my point is, it's disappointing. I think I don't want to say exactly a step backwards, but it's certainly not a step forward. Other organizations have figured out how you can do kids of both genders going to camp, and they just separate facilities when they go to sleep. So what? You know, I'm telling you, Camp Cedars, my favorite Boy Scout camp ever. Camp Cedars has figured out how to do, non-gendered bathrooms. We have bathrooms and shower facilities that they figure out a way that everybody can have their own privacy and nobody's in any danger. And it's very effective. And if we had girls coming to this camp and okay, maybe we designate separate sleeping areas for boys and girls, whatever, then we'd still use the exact same facilities and there wouldn't be any conflict with it. It would work out perfectly. And yet apparently we can't do that. So, I'm disappointed. I mean, it's all going to happen eventually, but oh man, I thought it was happening this week, and it's not. So that was my nerd rage on that one. All right, my next nerd rage: the reply all function on email. Seriously, people, learn how to use the reply button. I get that there are some people that work in my area, some people who work on specific teams or have a boss that requires certain things. And so they're just used to every time they reply to any message, they just hit reply all because they expect that everybody who's getting this message is going to want to know the reply. I get it. But you know what? When it's a message that goes out to the entire facility, because for example, we all have this facility I'm in. It's a locked facility and everyone's got a set of keys. You've got 4 different keys. You've got your security badge. There's all sorts of requirements. And so all the keys are numbered. And so someone sends out a note that says, hey, I just need everyone to send me their key number just to verify that everyone's still got the right keys and everything's still in place. And so they send it out to the entire facility, 350 people. And now for the next week, I have to watch in my email every day as at least 10 people hit a reply to all and send their key number to everybody in the damn building. What is wrong with you? Just learn the difference between reply and reply all. Yes? Okay, my wife is making fun of me, but little does she know that the point she brings up to mock me is my very next rage. Okay, so I think I've covered reply all. You all get the point. You're all on my side on this. I know that. No, my next one, I go downtown to work, and we cover a bunch of different offices around town and actually over several counties. And so I go down to our downtown office, and while I'm there, it is an interview room. They have normally all the workers are in cubicles in the back, but they have clients to see and you don't want to bring clients back there. So they have interview rooms up front that have computers in them. And so, that's where they go with clients. But since it's in the front public area, they have to keep those doors locked. It makes perfect sense. So, one of the interview room computers isn't working And I suspect it's a bad power supply, and it turns out that that was exactly what the problem was. So I get a key from the front desk. I go over to this locked interview room. I let myself in, and then I get the power supply replaced. Everything's up. It's all working just fine. And then I go to leave, and the door is locked because, you know, I locked it on my way in because that's, again, I work in a very secure locked facility, and it's just my habit that when I unlock a door, before I remove the key from the door, I get the door open, but before I take the key out, I lock it again so that now everything is automatically locked and I don't have to worry about, you know, that I forgot something. It's just a force of habit. I always do that. And so I had locked the door when I came in, and then I shut the door, and now I can't get out. There's no keyhole on this side. It's not a who builds a door that doesn't just open from the inside? Who builds a door that doesn't have a button or a twisty or a something on the... Who does that? Oh, man. Okay, this is really not so much a rage at the doorknob manufacturer, because really, it was my own stupid fault for locking myself in a room. But now, I'm sitting in a little 6-foot by 6-foot room, which fortunately had a phone in it, although I had my cell phone. So, yeah, I mean, who doesn't have a cell phone on? And so, I call the front desk, and I go, Joanne, I fixed the problem, but can you come let me out? And she says, yeah, you have the only key. Oh, God damn it. And so, yeah, so she comes over, and apparently this has happened to many people before me, but I have to shove the key under the door, and then she let me out. So, okay, that really, again, it wasn't the fault of the, you know what? No, I blame the building, whoever's in charge of maintenance over there, because that door actually, there was something on the inside that has apparently been broken off, because there's a big gaping hole on the inside of the door that you would think, oh, I've got screwdrivers. I can jam a screwdriver in there and find out where the slot is, and I'll just turn it. I'm sure. No, I can jam my screwdriver in there, but there's no turning anything. I blame them. I'm going to go back and talk to them about it. That's their fault. Although, again, lots of people have locked themselves in that room, and it's been like that for years, apparently. Nobody's fixing the door. They just think it's funny. So, okay, that was number two. Now, number three. Now my fourth. I'm telling you, there's a lot of them this week. My fourth rage this week, this one's really less of a rage, more of just a complaint, I guess. But my son had a 94 Chrysler LeBaron, red, convertible. No, not Jacob. Jacob also had a 94 Chrysler convertible LeBaron, red. But we got rid of his ages ago because he totaled it. But after that, Aiden also had a 1994 Chrysler LeBaron convertible in red. And not because we like them, but because somebody thinks they're being funny when they help us acquire cars. So anyway, we had this car, and it's a piece of junk. It was a piece of junk when we got it, but it became more of a piece of junk over the time that Aiden was driving it. And so finally we went out, and Aiden bought himself a new car, and we went to go sell the LeBaron. I think I've told you about the first time I sold the LeBaron. And so I sold off the LeBaron to some woman, and then within a week or two, she calls me back and says she has to return it. Well, why? Because it's on a salvage title, and she didn't realize all the problems that there were with a salvage title, having to go down to the courthouse, and you have to get it inspected and approved before they can give you a new title on it. And I did not know that that was a problem. And she's right. I did not mention that it was a salvage title when I sold it to her because I didn't think it was important. So she returned it. So, okay, fine. You know, I gave her money back. I got the car back. So I posted it again, and this time mentioned it was a salvage title, and I sold it again for the exact same amount of money to someone who was well aware that it was a salvage title, and he takes it away. I am a happy man because the car is finally out of my hair. 4 days ago, Walmart calls me at work, because Aiden gave them my number, because they called the house first. And apparently, I mean, I sold this car like 3-4 months ago, and Walmart calls me because I'm the last listed owner on that car, and it is abandoned in their parking lot, and they're wondering if I want to do something about it. I'm like, oh, seriously? I'm like, oh, God, no. I sold that car. It's not mine anymore. Oh, well, who did you sell it to? I'm like, hold on. Let me look it up. I've got the guy's name. He's on my Facebook Messenger. I can give you the name. And they're like, well, I don't know how this is going to help. I'm like, look, tell you what. He's on Facebook Messenger. I'll just send him a message and I'll let him know you guys are looking for him. How's that? And the manager's very thankful that I would do that for them. And then after I hang up with the manager, it occurs to me, oh, wait, no. The guy works at Walmart. He's like night shift, so this manager wouldn't know him. This is a day manager. He wouldn't know the night shift guys. I'm like, so I call back and I explain that, but I did also send a message to the guy. And it turns out, oh, no, it's not abandoned. He brought it in and then something happened, and so he wound up getting a ride home. And it's just been a couple of days, and he hasn't been there with someone so that he can drive in and then drive this one back. He's been using his old truck instead. And so finally they got it all worked out, and it's not my business anymore. But I'm like, how long is this car going to keep coming back to haunt me? I swear. It is just, I am fully expecting that like a ghost car, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, on the anniversary of the day I sold it, it's just going to magically appear on blocks in my yard. Something. It is just, it's creepy, and I just want to be done with that car. Just done forever. Oh, man. And if I could be done with this car forever, that means I have only one more 94 Chrysler LeBaron to get sold, and then I will be free of them completely. So, won't that be great? Yeah. Because the third one, it's just sitting out in a field, an empty overgrown field, and it's sitting out there and it's been abandoned. It didn't have an engine when I bought it. I just bought it for spare parts because it was dirt cheap, and I got my money's worth out of it. But now, you know, my mother-in-law would kind of like it out of her backfield, so I'm going to really have to get that thing moved. All right. You guys want one more rage? It doesn't matter whether you want it or not. I'm going to give you one more rage. So the last one I have is, I have twice this week had people ask me a question about something I'm doing, and I'm talking about gaming. And every time, well, these two times, but this is a repeated pattern, every time I say something about gaming, and then I have an entire conversation with them, and then after like 5 minutes, they give me a response that makes me realize, oh, they thought I was talking about video games this entire time. Oh my God. Okay. Well, now let's clear up that misconception. And then I'm just upset that we've lost the word gaming. And I get it. It's evolved. That's, you know, the language is always changing and these things happen, but I'm just sorry that we've completely lost the word gaming. I know. Look, people say gaming, video gaming is the most common activity that you're going to have conversations about. And so that's what people say. That's what people assume. I get it. But, you know, I have a whole hobby, there's all sorts of games that I play, that don't fall into the video game category. I don't play many video games. And so, I wish there was a more convenient way to express it. I could say tabletop gaming, but if I say tabletop gaming to most people, that still requires more explanation. They're not used to hearing it in that context. And so I can't just say tabletop gaming and have the assumption that people are gonna know that I'm talking about board games, card games, role-playing games. Any games. That's not an assumption I expect people to make, so I still have to explain it. Otherwise, I have to say, well, you know, board gaming, card gaming, it just feels awkward. I wish we could have gaming back as a term. I wish when someone said gamer, they immediately assumed that it was tabletop gamer and not video gamer, but oh well, we're dinosaurs. Just kind of the way it goes. Again, evolving language. I guess I can't do anything about it. So, that's it. That's all my nerd rages for the week. I've got them out of my system. I won't need to rage about anything for, 6-8 months now, I'm sure. Okay. Next segment. Roku! All right. Roku is the streaming box that I used to watch all of my streaming television on. I don't use it anymore, but I love to say Roku. So when I talk about TV stuff, that's what I say. All right, first off, my wife and I did just binge season 6 of American Horror Story this weekend, the Roanoke season, and it was cool. I mean, look, American Horror Story is always way over the top. It always gets a little bit silly. It is overly dramatic, and yet it's one of those things that I'm always hooked into it. Like I say, we binge watched it. It took us two nights and we got through the entire thing because we were just having that much fun with it. And the Roanoke season, if you've not watched American Horror Story, it was cleverly done. They used a new idea. They broke it up into two segments, a first half and a second half that were different concepts around the same events and the same. Anyway, it was very clever. I really enjoyed it. But more than that, that's that one. But also, look, I've mentioned Hot Ones before, but I've got to reiterate it because I've watched more Hot Ones now. Hot Ones is a YouTube series from First We Feast is the name of the channel. And they do a bunch of different things, but Hot Ones is, I think, their most popular and certainly the one I enjoy the most. Their host, Sean Evans, does an interview with some celebrity. And during the course of the interview, they each eat 10 hot wings that go from something mild like sriracha at the very bottom all the way up to their spiciest 2 million Scovilles, their personalized hot ones sauce that they make themselves. And so the wings get progressively hotter as the interview goes on. And I just got to say, Sean Evans is brilliant as an interviewer. This man does solid research. Like, he comes in completely prepared. He is asking questions that's not your usual run-of-the-mill questions. I mean, he's actually asking interesting stuff of these people. And he always does it in such a way that he waits for the guest to take a bite. And then right after he's gotten a bite, and or she, and the heat has gotten a chance to kind of sink in just a little bit, then that's when he asks him a question. And usually the questions become more thoughtful as the interview goes on, as things get hotter. So here they are trying to deal with the hot sauce and then also having to think of a question at the same time. And it's just really entertaining. And some of the guests make it through with no trouble. I mean, like, Russell Brand. Oh man, Russell Brand was a champion. He plowed through every single one of those wings as if there was no, I mean, it was as if it didn't affect him at all. There was not a bead of sweat, no sniffling, no nothing. I mean, he was so in control. It was just bizarre. And the host, Sean, he eats the exact same wings with his guest and it affects him like it does them. I mean, he's done it a bunch of times, so he doesn't, he keeps his cool. He's able to power through. But I'm telling you, this show is just a lot of fun. You really have got to watch. One of the latest ones, Terry Crews, I think it was like two episodes ago. Terry Crews is fantastic. I love this man. I've never really thought much about him except as President Camacho from Idiocracy. And watching him in this, I'm like, oh, you know what? I've got to go watch his TV show now. Whatever that police one is. Something 991? I can't remember. Anyway, I should know. It's just I'm drawing a blank because, you know, I'm trying to think. But Terry Crews was awesome. Russell Brand was really good. Cara Delevingne, who I've never thought much of her either. I mean, I know her face from a couple of movies, and that's about it. But she was really entertaining. Steve-O. Wow. Steve-O from Jackass. Amazing interview. Really cool guy. I mean, I did just not something I ever would have thought I'd say. But Steve-O is really cool. Henry Rollins is always a badass. One of my favorites, Padma Lakshmi, I'm sorry. She's one of the hosts of Top Chef. And so food is her business. It's what she does on camera all the time. And so, yeah, again, she was a trooper. She had no problem getting through these hot wings. And, like even got to the middle. And it was one of the hot one's signature sauces, and it's in the middle, and it's a fairly hot one. She's like, "Oh, this is one of the ones you designed," and he's like, "Yeah." She goes to take a taste of. She's like, "You don't mind if I stick my finger in the bottle, do you?" "No, go ahead, Dad. You can take that bottle. That's fine." And so she dips her finger in it, and she tries it. She's like, "Wow, that's really good." She thinks about it. She starts describing it. You know, she can giving him the parts of it that are in it that she really likes, and then she thinks for a minute. And so then she just picks up the bottle and she just swigs a bunch of it. I'm like, holy crap. I mean, her commentary was really good. It was a good interview. Sean Evans always does a good interview. So I highly recommend Hot Ones. I really do. They've got 4 seasons worth of material. There's, I mean, you know, 50 or 60 episodes out there. It is completely worth your time. I love Hot Ones. So you should watch that. And then also, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about this one, but if you are interested in something simple, go to Netflix and a Netflix original series, and it is oh God, why am I drawing blanks now on everything again? I am such an idiot. Big Mouth. Big Mouth. I knew that. Big Mouth is a cartoon. It is a Netflix original, and it stars Nick Kroll and some other people you may or may not recognize. And I wouldn't have thought much about this show. I saw the, it keeps popping up as a featured item on Netflix for me, telling me that I really want to watch this. And it looked dumb. It looks, the art style doesn't appeal to me. It looked silly. But, Kroll was on the Colbert Show and he talked about his #PuberMe campaign. And so Colbert got together with him and they made a whole PuberMe campaign for Puerto Rico relief. And so the idea was Colbert promised that any celebrity that that posts up a picture of themselves when they're 13 or 14 going through puberty with the #PuberMe, he will donate $1,000 to Puerto Rico. And so they wound up, grand total, they got some other sources and between the Big Mouth people and Colbert's people and Lin-Manuel Miranda, they wound up with $1 million that they donated for disaster relief for Puerto Rico, which was really cool. And so as a result of looking at that, I thought, you know what? Guy did a good thing. I'll give the show a shot. I mean, I like Nick Kroll. He's funny a lot of the time. And I figured I'd give it a shot. Big Mouth was addictive. It is a show, it is about 13-year-old kids in junior high going through puberty, and it is a show about puberty, and it is, really gross, and there's a lot of gross out jokes, and a lot of bodily humor, and a lot of masturbation jokes, because it's kids going through puberty. And it's also really funny and kind of touching, and, again, it may not be your thing. It really might not, because it's fairly graphic and fairly gross on a lot of things. And yet, I found myself really enjoying it. So again, Marion, it may not be your thing, but give it a shot. Like I say, a couple episodes in, and already I was hooked. I was ready to watch it. So Aiden and I wound up watching that whole series together and had a really good time. So you know what? Give it a shot. There you go. All right, boy, that's everything I've got. So you know what it's time for? That's right. Pod-o-matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-o-matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, that was him, in his fully pimped out Pod-o-matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I add it to my Pod-o-matic list, because Pod-o-matic honestly is about whatever you want it to be. And my first number is 96. 96, all the way down at the bottom of the list today, it's from Ronster. Excellent. Ronster says, as if there would be a name that would come up that I would go, oh, that sucks. Ronster says, if you could remove the influence of one person from history in the style of George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life, who would it be, and what would the lasting effects be? Oh, man. I feel like I've answered this question. I don't know. I mean, look, Hitler's the obvious answer. You know, you remove Hitler and suddenly, World War II, whatever conflict would have ended the Great Depression and led to reorganizing of Europe and dealing with the aftermath of the Germans losing World War I, whatever it was, could not been as bad as Hitler. Without Hitler there, clearly, yeah, there still probably would have been turmoil, and there still probably would have been, things happening and maybe follow-up wars and other conflicts, but it would not have been as bad, right? I mean, gotta be. I mean, you know, or the other obvious answer is Trump, but I don't, I mean, Trump is terrible in my opinion, but I also don't think Trump is the biggest problem with our country either. I think he is a horrible, horrible symptom of the problems with our country. So, God, who else would be up there? Ayn Rand? I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Hitler, but I have no idea. I mean, because I think any other people you take out of history, most people that you take out of history are going to wind up, you're still going to see the same kind of stuff. So, I mean, if it hadn't been Trump, if Hillary had won this last election, then it wouldn't have changed any of the problems that we have in this country. It wouldn't have changed the divide we have in this country. It wouldn't have changed the fact that the Russians tried to hack into our election, the fact that they used social media to tamper with our public opinions and try and divide Americans. It doesn't change any of that. In fact, Hillary winning would have meant that, hey, we all get to pretend that none of that happened and we kind of sweep it under the rug for another 4 years. And I'm not saying it's a good thing that Trump got elected and that it's all out in the open now, but I'm saying that even if it had been Hillary, we still would be seeing this. We would still be dealing with these things in a different fashion, and maybe it would have taken a lot longer for it to boil over, and who knows what would have happened. I have no idea. But so I'm going to, like I say, I think with few exceptions, I think most people that get removed from history, history is still going to happen in some way or another. But, you know, you take out someone like Alexander the Great, or Genghis Khan, or Hitler for that matter, and yeah, you're suddenly going to see a Caesar. You're going to see a very different course of history without that one really powerful person making these huge sweeping changes in a short period of time. So I'm going to go with Hitler. I mean, but I don't know. I got nothing on this one. Number 60 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, hey, what's in your wallet? Oh, all right. Let's see. There's a Pizza Ranch card. There's my Hy-Vee gas card. Oh, some gift cards, driver's license, a couple of credit cards. Yeah, that's, my wife's over there going, condom? What the hell is that doing in there? No. There's a business card for a loan officer at the bank, a Boy Scout discount card, oh, other miscellaneous garbage. But most interesting is I have a patch, like a sew-on patch, for steam-powered giraffe that for some reason is in my wallet right now. Well, not for some reason. I found it in my office, in my desk, and realized, hey, I need to take this home. So I stuck it in my wallet so I wouldn't forget it, which brings me to the idea that, oh, yeah, you know what? I have a steam-powered giraffe patch. And then also at home, I have a Cardboard Fortress Centipede patch for their new Centipede game. And between the two of those, I'm like, these are some really cool patches. I like these. I need to get a bunch of other cool gaming-related, nerd-related, pop culture-style patches. And then I need to sew them all onto a Boy Scout sash. And then that way, for one day at Gen Con, I can dress up as a scout, make myself some kind of cool nerd-related neckerchief to go with it, and then have my sash on with all of the nerd patches on it, and that would be my nerd Boy Scout uniform, as if all Boy Scouts aren't nerds already, but that would be my nerd Boy Scout uniform for Gen Con, and I think that would be really cool. So I think I'm going to do that. Like in addition to the, I still think we all need to go as a team and do the we're going to be troubleshooters at Gen Con, because I think that's a spectacular idea, but also all my nerd patches on my Boy Scout uniform, that would be pretty cool too. I mean, it's not like I don't already have the shirt, right? I would just have to, see, the problem is I would then have to make sure that, oh man, I'd really have to work the patches out to make sure that it wasn't, I don't have any of the actual Boy Scout insignia on it before I make this costume, because I wouldn't want to do that. So, let's see, 05 is from, it's from Irish Fan. Hey, Irish. Irish says, what are your thoughts on the Mars One project? Do you think we will eventually colonize Mars? I think we will, but not in my or my children's lifetime. I love the concept, however. I also loved the movie The Martian. Thoughts? Okay, first off, I can't believe I haven't seen The Martian yet. What is wrong with me? man, I have got to watch The Martian. I am so excited about that film, and yet somehow I've never gotten around to it. So I am kind of stalling here because I'm going to justwatch.com and trying to see if Martian is available streaming anywhere, and I don't think it is yet, but I'm going to look. So The Martian. There we go. And because I love this site. Justwatch.com tells you where everything is available. Oh, look at that. Let's see. I can get it for rental everywhere for $3, as usual. But nope, nowhere free streaming. Darn it. All right. Anyway, Martian is a movie I really want to watch. As far as the rest of your question goes, look, I'm excited about any space exploration project that is still getting funded, all right? If we can actually get money for stuff and we can move forward, that's awesome. But as I have said before, colonizing Mars is like step 5 or 6 in our colonization of space projects. Really, I know everyone is so excited to get to Mars because it's cool. It sounds awesome. Oh my God, we're going to put people on Mars. But, you know, again, we don't know if we can survive that trip. We don't know if we can survive being on Mars. We have no clue. And there's so many other things that we could be doing now that would be super productive as far as science goes, super productive as far as exploration goes, and also would give us a good idea of how to go about a mission to Mars to make it survivable. I mean, I know we can do it eventually, but we don't know all the details. We don't know how yet. So I keep saying, and NASA keeps not listening to me, that, come on, let's put up a real habitat in space that isn't just the space station, but actually makes an effort to provide some sort of artificial gravity environment, and that provides, you know, actual growing plants and trying to produce our own food and full recycling, and see how sustainable we can make life in space right here near Earth, where we still have some protection from our magnetic field and we still have, you know, resources nearby, and see if we can figure out answers to all of these things before we go shooting off people into space to Mars. I mean, Mars is super exciting. It really is. But there's so much other stuff we can be doing first, in my opinion. 36 comes from... it comes from Kyle. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Are you still using expensive 5-blade razors? I've decided those are stupid and have moved back to cheap-ass disposables. But understand that I hardly shave any of my face, just my wolf hairs. Wolf hairs are the ones up on his cheeks. Stuff around the edges, the stray stuff that still sparsely populated, and yet it gets all scraggly anyway. So we need your thoughts. Oh, God, no, I stopped using multi-blade razors like that ages ago. I have a dual-blade razor that I use. I think the one I have now is triple-blade, but it's still, you can buy triple-blade disposable razors, and I don't use them very often. And so my razors tend to get dull just from age and oxidation sitting there on the rack long before they get dulled by actually shaving my hair, because I rarely do it. Once a week or so, I kind of trim up the edges. I get my neck and the tops of my cheeks and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I barely use the darn thing. And there's no reason for me to be spending that kind of money for the huge expensive razors that, again, like I say, the thing's going to dull from oxidation long before I get around to dulling it with the few hairs I'm cutting. So I'm with you, man. I don't even bother. So if I was shaving every day, I don't know, maybe my opinion would be different. It's been so long since I've done that, though, I haven't been able to compare. I wouldn't know. 04. 04, back up to the top, is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, what's the laziest thing you've ever done? That's a heck of a question. The laziest thing I've ever done. You mean like, I don't know, I'm in my room watching television and I call for the children to go grab me something because I just don't feel like getting up out of bed and walking 10 paces to go get whatever it is? That's pretty lazy. I was going to say, or even lazier, you know, I could call Aiden in the basement because, you know, he's got his phone. I can just ring him up and go, hey, bud, you want to come up here for a second? Yeah, hey, on your way, you want to grab me a soda? And then he gets in there with the soda and you go, okay, that's all I needed. Thanks, man. Yeah, that's pretty lazy. You could do that. I mean, I'm not saying I have done that. I'm just saying that, boy, that would be really lazy if I did something like that. And my poor kids. What kind of father would I be if that's what was happening? 25 is Kyle. I love these new dice, by the way. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate these new dice. I thank you, man. It is so nice to be able to see R2's numbers and know that it's a fair roll every time, or at least as fair as dice can be, right? Number 25 is from Zimney. What is the best way to do a tabletop version of a Zelda game? Part of me wants to go back to the original Legend of Zelda and do it as like a tile building game so that you can go off the various edges of your map and you're going to wind up laying down another map piece. So you're just in one scene at a time, one square at a time. And so you then would have, I'm thinking board game if it wasn't obvious. And then there would be creatures to defeat in each one. I guess it would wind up playing out a lot like Betrayal at House on the Hill. Not necessarily in that whole mystery sense, but the idea that there are certain things that you are questing for and certain things that you have to unlock to get to other ones. And so you have to explore in the right directions to get pieces from that pile or whatever. So you wind up getting those out and then hopefully you finally acquire the stuff you need. Good. Now you can head back in the other direction. You can start building other sections of maps. So you'd have, you know, a bunch of different piles to build from. Or when you unlock this certain thing, now you get to shuffle these 10 cards into the draw pile or whatever it is. But it would be something like that. That would be, man, that's not a bad idea either. Ooh, man, I got to work on that. 45. 45 is... There it is. It's from Mrs. Darks again. Mrs. Darks says, have you ever met, seen, or been told someone else met or saw your doppelganger? Let's see. Okay, first off, yeah, well, one, there was a guy when I was in college and I was waiting tables. I had some people who came in and mistook me for somebody else. Like they didn't actually think that that's who I was, but they had to do a double take and they're like, oh my God, you're not going to believe you look exactly like this guy we know. And I heard that from actually then a couple of different people. And then I finally met that guy and I didn't look anything like him. I mean, it was just weird, but I didn't look anything like him. But, I also look a lot like Chuck Todd. Now, Chuck Todd, is he on MSNBC? Chuck Todd has, lost some weight, or I've gained some weight, so he's skinnier than I am, and he still wears the stupid goatee instead of growing a very cool full beard like I do, but I look a lot like Chuck Todd. And as my wife just reminded me, I once got goosed at Walmart by someone who was positive from the back that I was Jacob. So, I mean, now Jacob's got longer hair, and so you couldn't mistake us for each other. But when he's cleaner cut, Jacob and I look a lot alike. And especially from the back, same build, we walk the same, we're very similar guys. So Jacob would be the only one of my doppelgangers that I've actually got to spend any time with. But I've heard that before, so... 67 is, it's from Kaz. Hey, Kaz. Haven't seen you on this list for a while. Kaz says, peanut butter and bacon sandwiches. Awesome or amazingly awesome? Oh, dude.
I can answer that.
No choice. Oh, yeah. What is your answer, Lisa?
Mike thinks they are awesome.
Yes. Yes. My wife knows I love peanut butter and bacon sandwiches. Oh, my God. They're the best. Peanut butter and bacon is just, it's amazing. Look, when the rest of the family is having BLTs, which I like BLTs except for the lettuce and tomato part. So therefore, I substitute those for peanut butter. Oh man, peanut butter on one side, Miracle Whip on the other, and then bacon in the middle. That is an awesome sandwich. Man, you cannot go wrong with it. Yeah, look, and why do I love peanut butter and bacon sandwiches? Because my dad made peanut butter and bacon sandwiches when I was a kid. And he was a wise man. You can't, my dad knew food, and peanut butter and bacon rocks. And again, when the History Channel used to actually show history, they did a documentary on the history of sandwiches, and peanut butter and bacon used to be a staple sandwich. It used to be the kind of thing that people ate all the time. Like, so much so that Oscar Mayer made a spread in a tube that was peanut butter and bacon in a tube that you just squeezed out onto your sandwich. So that's how popular peanut butter and bacon was. Nowadays, people act like you're crazy when you bring it up, but I'm telling you, peanut butter and bacon is awesome together, and Kaz knows what I'm talking about, but the rest of you, you need to try it. If you have not done peanut butter and bacon, they're great. Yeah. Yeah, I got Eli will eat a good peanut butter and bacon sandwich if I make it. The others, Noah will eat them, but he prefers other stuff. Everyone else likes the lettuce and tomato, so they'll eat the BLTs. I mean, look, Eli likes the BLTs too. But he also really likes peanut butter. Eli will eat, if we let him, he would be perfectly happy eating nothing but peanut butter sandwiches all the time. He had one of his friends the other day at school. It said something about peanut butter sandwiches, and he went on about how much he loved them. They're like, "What? You don't put anything on them? What, peanut butter? Well, yeah, but no jelly? You don't do peanut butter and jelly?" And Eli's like, "Why would I do peanut butter with jelly on it? Jelly's nothing but extra sugar. I mean, okay, so you get some flavor, but it's nothing but pure sugar. No, no, peanut butter's where the nutrition is." So that's our family. O2. And I think I'm going to make this one the last one. If it's a good one. Ooh, it's Mrs. Darks. All right, you got to live up to it here. Can she do it? Have you considered publishing all of the transcripts from all of your paranoia games as an anthology online? I know you have some of them somewhere, but it would be cool to be able to read them all in one place. I will be happy to put all of those transcripts out just for free consumption for anyone who wants to come to the boards, because I love my paranoia games, and the transcripts are pretty darn funny. And I've never thought about actually publishing them in any professional sense. I mean, like, I certainly wouldn't want to charge people for them, and if I'm not charging people for them, I'm not going to go to any effort to actually, clean them up and format them and add anything to them. But the straight transcripts are still pretty cool. So, yeah. I'll make an effort to do that sometime this week and just put a link to all of them. And yeah, they're a lot of fun. We got some really good stuff in there. So there you go. That was the last one. Now it's time for GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. That's me. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, did I have any bumper music? It was some Rage and some Roku. So no, I didn't have any bumper music. But if I did, all my bumper music is available on iTunes. You check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks Versus, Me Like Trivia, Nerd Pride Radio itself, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to it in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write us a nice review or a crappy review. It doesn't matter. Just give us 5 stars. Me, 5 stars. I don't say us. Me. Give me 5 stars, because that sort of thing makes a difference. But if you want to do something super nice, seriously, just recommend it to a friend. Pick one person who you think is going to enjoy this and spread the love, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message. We'll hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. Maybe play some games. We'll have fun. We'll be right back. now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums, I go out to Facebook, I post up, hey guys, I am recording anything that you want to add. I will read it off at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right now. First off, we'll start off at Facebook. Facebook starts off with Sarah Beth saying, happy Sunday, Mike. Well, thank you, Sarah Beth. Happy Sunday to you, or happy Monday, I guess, when you're listening to it. Then she follows up with another post that says, we have company from California this week. What do you remember from upstate New York that I should show them? What do I remember from upstate New York? Man, I just remember that we used to have awesome snow when I was a kid in upstate New York. That was my favorite part, is that we had awesome winters because they weren't too bitterly cold most of the time, and yet we always had great snow for playing outside, and it was awesome. But you probably don't have a whole bunch of snow to show them right now, so that's not really helpful to you. I mean, it's not, you know, other than a field trip to Montreal and, you know, a different field trip that we took to Albany and, oh, we went out to see Fort Ticonderoga. I mean, it was stuff like that, but we didn't, I don't know. My family did a lot of camping. We went out to the woods, climbed Mount Carmel, and, I don't even, where was that? Taylor Pond, which was actually way more of a big lake than a pond, but Taylor Pond was where we used to go camping. But yeah, I don't know what you want to show people out there. I honestly, man, if you can find that abandoned missile silo my dad took me to, that was pretty awesome, which has now been, you know, sold and filled in. But, man, it was cool if you could find it 30 years ago. Oh, man, it's been 40 years ago now. I'm old. So I don't have a good answer. There's all sorts of cool stuff I remember from my childhood, but not anything that's transferable to showing to company nowadays. It really, nothing at all. Then, even though I said I was done, my wife then followed up after the buzzer, and she is here with me and has heard the podcast so far, and her comment is, I thought you were going to nerd rage about pants. Oh, man, tell me about it. God, you should have brought this up when I was talking about it, too, when I was nerd raging. It would have fit in well, but I'll use it here, because we have been shopping for pants for Noah, and Noah is not a fat kid. You go look at pictures of Noah. Noah's not a fat kid. All right. He's a bigger around the waist than our other kids were at this age. So yeah, a little stocky, but he's not fat. And yet we can't find pants that fit him to save our lives. I mean, we go over to Walmart, we go to JCPenney's, we go to Target, we go to, and there's no jeans that fit this kid. I mean, everything is just, if you get it in his age range, his size, it's a little too tight around the waist. And then we go to a larger size so it'll fit the waist. And it's like 4 inches too long now, which, okay, I get that's my fault that I've got super short legs and Noah has inherited that in spades. And that I take responsibility. I get that. Yeah, my wife is not the leggiest person either. Okay. So this was maybe not a good combination. I don't know, but man, you know, I look around the school and there are lots of kids who are much heavier than he is, but built a lot rounder around the waist than he is. What I need to pay attention. Are they all wearing jeans? Where the hell do they get those from? I don't get it. Do they all just wear sweatpants? Cause that's for a little while, that's Noah just kept telling us, oh no, I like sweatpants better. I would rather just get sweatpants. Let's just go. Well, that's because all of his jeans are too tight. So now that we've gotten him jeans that fit, because we took them to get them actually hemmed up professionally. And so now he has jeans that fit him, and he loves them, and he's thrilled about it. But damn, what does it take to buy jeans for a short-legged kid? I just, man, this is rough. I shouldn't have to customize his pants. I really shouldn't. He's not some kind of freak here. I mean, he's a kid. Oh, man. Yeah, I was a little disappointed by that. So, all right, that is it for Facebook. And then, hold on. I've got my website pulled up here. There it is. All right, I got a couple responses. First is from Eliahad. First off, I asked, I said, hey, it's time. Recommend me an awesome horror movie for Halloween that I have never seen before. So, Eliahad says, I don't watch horror movies. Oh, coward. He says, I've had traumatic experiences at most of them. So, Plan 9 from outer space, he says. Oh, Lon Chaney's The Penalty? It's a silent that has Lon Chaney as a mastermind who lost his legs and concocts a crazy plot to do the same to the doctor that caused him to lose his legs in the first place. Oh, that's creepy. I have never seen that one. I've seen Plan 9 and I hated it. Hated it. So bad it's good? No, just bad. It's just a plain old bad movie. Eliahad follows up, though, with, anyway, how are you? Pretty good. Feeling better? Yeah. Voice is still a little out there. I'm still taking some cough drops because I got this kind of nagging cough going. But, all right. Let's see. Yeah, there is the strong smell of wood fire in the school, which is weird. So someone's been burning something outside. It's kind of bothering the sinuses here, but we're doing all right. But then he follows up and says, up for a test of Godball or two? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime. I got to give you some more feedback on those cards. But, yes, I so loved the last playtest that we really, really, really need to get to another one. And speaking of playtesting games, Yancey, as I may have mentioned, came up with a great idea for a card game. Like, I did not imagine this from Yancey, and yet he comes in with this awesome idea for a card game. And, like, it's super simple, would be super easy to make, and it's really playable. I mean, it just sounds right, all right? It's a simple game he's calling it King of the Hill, but he's going to change the name eventually. And it's a card game that involves lots of passing cards. You know, you have to pass your whole hand back and forth a lot of times. There's lots of cards that change the order of stuff. And the whole object is to be King of the Hill, and then while you are King of the Hill, also acquire the King card that lets you win. And it's a really good idea. And so he's been sitting on this for a while. And so 3 days ago at work, I said to him, all right, dude, here's the deal. You've had lots of great ideas in your life for other stuff, and you don't follow up on them. So I'm telling you, you either make this game, or I swear to you, I am going to steal it from you, and I'm going to make it myself and take full credit for it. And then, to my amazement, he came in after lunch and said, here's the cards I designed over lunch. Can we test this out quick? And so we did. And it was super playable. It was really cool. I mean, like he had just taken his old business cards out of his desk because we've changed agencies, so the business cards are no good. And so he just mocked them up into a deck of 100 cards for this game. And we played it out. And it's, you know, it's flawed. It's broken. It's got, the end condition is really difficult. And so, you know, there's some technicalities to work out, but that doesn't change the fact that it played really smooth. It's like the idea is right. He's just got to play test it and work it out. It's really cool. So I'm excited for him. I can't wait to see it happen. So, and, we do have, a new gaming store opened in town, the Clubhouse, and a really nice store. I mean, it's slick and modern on the inside, really nice little setup, and they've got a whole play area at the back of the store. And so, I think Yancey and I are both going to get a subscription card to just go in and play whenever you damn well feel like it. And maybe go down there over lunch, you know, grab random strangers to play test with. So it's going to be kind of cool. And look, if I can get a working model of Godball in my hands, I'm going to do the same thing with Godball. Looking forward to that. So anyway, that's game stuff. All right. And then the next one is from Produce Farmer. Produce Farmer says, hey, Mike and co-host. Yeah, that's Raven. She's still under the bed at home, so she hasn't come out yet. But my wife, Lisa. So Produce Farmer says, I am pretty sure you've seen this one, but the last big horror movie I showed my buddy was Teeth, the one with the snapping jaws and the hoo-ha. Oh, you know, I know Teeth. Care to share your thoughts about that movie? My wife and I saw Teeth years ago and really enjoyed it. I mean, it's creepy and scary and a lot of odd tension and a lot of commentary on sexual power and, a good film, a really good film, I thought, for being such a small thing. But my other commentary about it is that film was shot, the river portions of it when they're in the cave, was shot at a place called Krause Springs, I think that's the name, Krause Springs. Krause Springs in Texas, where I've been. I mean, it's like not that far from my parents' place. It used to be, I don't know, I think it still is. I think I just saw pictures this recently from my brother and his family going down there. But Krause Springs is a great swimming hole. It's got these huge rope swings that swing out over it, and then you can follow the river down, and there's caves along the side, and you can swim up into these caves, which some of them you saw in the movie Teeth. Apparently, there's been multiple movies that have shot on location there because it's a cool little spot. It's very picturesque, and the owners are amenable to film crews coming in there and doing their thing. So super cool. Super cool to have actually seen the spot where the film was shot. It's just a little extra bonus for it. But yeah, I think Teeth is a great movie. I really like that one. So, and then that's it. That is the end of our show. So, right here at the hour mark, thanks guys for showing up. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. I appreciate your support. Going back to the Podomatic. Let me check my numbers on Podomatic because I think, yeah, see, I'm down to, after today's episode, I'm down to 115. So I'm only 15 away from coming up short because I always need at least 100 to fill out the list. So if you've been thinking about doing some Podomatics, now is Podomatic time. Jump in on this. I just got one this week from my mom, of all people. 115 is where we're at. Go ahead and contribute. But anyway, you guys are great. I love you. I appreciate everything you do for me, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.